Saturday Night Live with Kevin Hart is over, but we're just getting started here on the Saturday Night Live live on post-show recaps. And now, here are the two guys who are ready to get more funky. I'm Rob Sestrino. Here's Rich Tackenberg. Rich, are you ready to get more funky?
Great to be here, Rob. Very excited about tonight's show. I don't have stage fright whatsoever. It makes total sense that I've been asked to host this podcast.
Rich, it's nice to see ya.
Hey, see ya.
Yes.
Hey, Rob. Good to see ya.
Yes, if you are listening to the audio version of this podcast, Rich had like a doily on his head. What was that, a washcloth?
Yeah, a little black washcloth to celebrate Sia's show on SNL.
All right, so we've got a lot to talk about here as SNL returns from the winter hiatus, supposedly, and we have Kevin Hart hosting, musical guest Sia, and Rich, ready to get back into this? First show 2015?
Like they say at a funeral, it's great to see you, Rob. I wish it was under better circumstances.
Yeah. I didn't think it was a great night for SNL, but certainly some laughs along the way.
Yeah, definitely some fun, especially top third of the show. Definitely some fun stuff to talk about. So I'm excited to jump in and do it.
Yeah, and I feel like this is a thing also when SNL has a couple episodes in a row. The first one is usually the roughest of the episodes after they come back from a break.
Yeah, and this is the longest break of the year, so it's not entirely surprising. And as much as I think Kevin Hart's a funny stand-up comedian, I didn't love him the last time he hosted. I mean, he's giving 110%. You cannot knock the guy for the energy and the effort that he put into the show last night. But I don't know if it necessarily worked for me. So, but we'll see.
Rich, is it true you were off to see The Wedding Ringer after this?
I can't wait. Well, I wanted to spend $50 to be able to see it in my home day and date release because it's just too funny to see it in a room with other people talking over the movie.
Yeah. All right. So we've got a lot to talk about. Let's get into the first sketch here. Also somewhat movie related. We had Pete Davidson talking with Martin Luther King Jr. Keenan is Martin Luther King Jr. Pete Davidson's writing a book report. And Martin Luther King is talking about a number of topical issues.
So this was sort of fun. This, as many of us will remember, we saw Keenan play Martin Luther King 2 years ago in the cold open back from the break when Obama had just been inaugurated for his second term and Martin Luther King visits him. We did a flip when they did that sketch 2 years ago, as much as Obama wanted to talk about issues at that time when Keenan played Martin Luther King. He wanted to talk about Beyonce's butt and Michelle Obama's bangs. So now we do a nice flip up and we get actually a real Martin Luther King and how we would sort of react to the world. So I thought this was, again, we kind of saw the sort of the structure of the sketch was very obvious. The game of the scene was very clear. And they had a nice kind of couple of good moments kind of hitting all the sort of standard beats. I don't know that we covered any new ground about, you know, Martin Luther King Boulevard not always being the best street in a neighborhood. And other things about Martin Luther King Day not being totally observed. But I like the energy of this, and I thought the writing was crisp enough, good energy for a cold open. So I wouldn't say I was necessarily laughing out loud, but I was smiling through the whole thing, which proved to be a valuable commodity more so than I would have thought at this point in the show.
Yeah, and I kind of like Keenan's Martin Luther King Jr. I think he does a good job with it. One of Keenan's better impressions.
Yeah, it's something you could almost call an impression. So I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah. The mountain is getting high, and that might be a phrase that we refer to a couple times talking about this episode.
Yeah, the mountain kept getting higher and higher all night long. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Pete Davidson definitely has good energy, and I really did like his energy for this. I mean, he was a good to choose someone to play this role. I think Pete Davidson did a nice job.
Okay. All right. That's the cold open again. Not really a laugh riot, but what are you going to do? Let's go to Rich, the credits. We thought maybe there could be after the break. Maybe we'll go back to the drawing board with Daryl Hammond.
Oh, boy. They're all in on this. I don't think I don't know what would have to happen for them to change the cold open at this point. Clearly, we are going to see this cold open through the end of the year. It's very disappointing.
That mountain is getting higher.
Getting higher and higher.
All right, so let's talk about Kevin Hart. He's back here for a monologue talking about he doesn't like his house. A lot of dangerous animals. So where do you think Kevin Hart is living these days?
I'm going to say sort of in the canyons between the Hollywood and the Valley. That's where I'm pegging Kevin Hart these days.
That sounds about right. You could see some dangerous wildlife over there, coyotes.
Yeah, exactly. Nice yeah. little winding driveway to get to the Hart compound.
Right. And no lights on that driveway.
Exactly.
All right. So Kevin Hart's going to do stand up and, you know, pretty much exactly what we expect. What'd you think of the set that Kevin Hart did?
I mean, I really liked it. I mean, this was it was a very hard turn to go from it's great to be back hosting Saturday Night Live for my second time to I'm pissed off at a raccoon. So it was like a really like trying to turn the ship into what was obviously a very well rehearsed bit. Once we got to the bit, I really liked it. I mean, this is I wouldn't say Kevin Hart is one of the great stand-ups of our time, but he's clearly a great stand-up and he does a really good job. And what I love, and this is bringing into, you know, stand-up comedy post-show recap, but I love when a comedian does one chunk of material. He got up and he told the raccoon story and it had nice twists and it had turns and it had side things and we get to his kid and we get to the thing about him buying lights, but it was a beginning and a middle and an end of the raccoon story. And I just think that's such a solid performance. And I love when comedians can do really long pieces on a topic and really kind of dig in and touch and hit and move and cover all, sort of all the pieces of it. So I like this. I would bet more than most. I thought this was a very, very solid piece of stand-up.
And what about the piece about if the mountain lion was attacking his wife, how he would react to that?
You know, I loved the fearlessness that he had. I don't know that the actual explanation of why only having one shoulder was necessarily genius. I don't think that's what a Louis C.K. or a Chris Rock would bring to it because it got a little sticky about what you could only do with one shoulder. But I loved the idea of it. I thought he did a very good sort of fearless job going there and kind of executing on it.
Yeah, he doesn't know if he wants her back after the mountain lion takes a piece out of her. Okay, exactly. So fun stuff. Kevin Hart, lots of leather shirts in this episode.
That's his look, man. His look.
I got to get that look.
He's balla.
Yeah. All right. So then we go to the first of a couple of these pre-taped pieces that we're going to do. Justin Bieber for Calvin Klein.
Now, this, I'm sure that when the Justin Bieber Calvin Klein commercial came out, I don't even know if it aired on TV or just the internet. I'm sure the team at SNL had to be over the moon that they didn't have to shoehorn in Kate McKinnon's Justin Bieber parody into a sketch, that they actually had a legitimate reason for her to do Justin Bieber. I could watch this Justin Bieber impression, just 90 minutes of this. I just love it. I will say, because we're going to be fair, I don't know that this was my favorite because so much of what makes her Justin Bieber impression great is the energy. And in a pre-tape piece, we don't get the same sense of energy and reacting off of the audience's energy. But that's nitpicky. My pee-pee's in there. Just killed me every time.
Yeah, those were my favorite parts where they cut away and she did a line of dialogue. My pee-pee's in there. She talks about juice box.
This underwear is making me tired.
yeah, the lines were good. You know, the sort of like, I have to say that the commercial wasn't cracking me up as far as like the actual like action parts of the, but those couple lines of dialogue, I thought really they killed it.
Right, and I think that they did something nice. They had, I'm blanking on everyone's name today. Cecily Strong doing the, it turns out, Laura Stone part, which I thought worked well in the actual commercial, which I watched online afterwards. It's just a model sitting there doing nothing. So they gave Cecily something to do with her kind of like being weirded out by Justin Bieber. So overall, real fun.
All right, Rich, let's talk about why'd you post that?
So first off, I didn't know. Did you, Rob, watch the East Coast feed or did you watch the West Coast feed?
I was watching the East Coast feed.
So did you see the Kate McKinnon part where the picture did not come up?
The major technical difficulties. I thought that was with Vanessa, right?
Vanessa, I'm sorry. Yes, yeah. Yes.
Major. Did they fix that for the West Coast version?
They did, and apparently, I think that they actually ran the recorded dress rehearsal, because on the West Coast feed it worked fine. Although there was a problem with the couch. When Vanessa Bayer gets pulled back, the couch doesn't go back cleanly in the version that I saw. But I read about the problems they had. I don't know if you want to, you probably should speak to it more than I can.
Yeah, so it was hard to tell exactly what was going on because, again, this was the first, it was the opening of a sketch and you're a little bit trying to figure out, okay, what's going on here? So the sketch is, why'd you post that? Kevin Hart is the host of this show. Vanessa Bayer is the guest. And he goes to the TV and he's basically like, all right, so, you know, you posted this picture. You know, why'd you post this picture and the picture's not coming up? Nothing's coming up on the screen. And, you know, they're sort of like vamping for like a little bit. And she's like, well, you know, it's good. They both seemed pretty panicked. And eventually he's just like, all right, well, we don't need to see the picture. I'll tell you about it. And so they started to talk about it. And then finally it came up. And we got the picture, but I'm sure a very harrowing couple of minutes there for Kevin Hart and Vanessa.
That's rough. That's very rough. And let me tell you, the sketch with no technical difficulties was still kind of a disappointment on every level. So I can only imagine how much harder it must have been if you had technical difficulties.
Yeah. What did you make of this sketch, Rich?
I mean, it felt in a way, I like that they're making fun of Instagram, which is a little bit more topical, but I felt like we could have done this sketch about Facebook 7 years ago. I didn't feel like we were covering any new territory. We're looking at a stub toe. We're looking at the Empire State Building. I didn't feel like there was anything that felt current or fresh to this. So it wasn't my favorite. And I would say, and again, I saw the dress rehearsal, but I thought that his energy, Kevin Hart's energy, worked against him in this sketch. It felt like a frenetic kind of yelling for nothing. So I was really, I wish I was on the sofa that could have been pulled through into the dungeon during this sketch.
Yeah, I thought it was like a kind of a nothing sketch, but then the twist about the dungeon, I found that to be very interesting, a very interesting decision to go that way. But I felt like it was something that never paid off of here's this host and here's the dungeon. But I felt like there was never like any sort of resolution to this story.
Yeah, I agree. It felt like there was something going on that we missed or that got cut when the writing process somewhere. I definitely don't get it. And more than anything, surprised that this sketch was basically the lead-off sketch, that they put this sketch in this position. I was very, very surprised by that.
Yeah. Okay, so the one thing I did like, I liked him referring to Instagram as the Gram.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. All right, so Rich, then we get to this another pre-taped piece, which is a bunch of guys hanging out in Bushwick, Brooklyn.
Yeah, I thought, you know, this I thought was probably one of the best pieces of the night. I don't even know that I would say it was perfect. It was funnier on second watching than first watching, but we're watching, these sort of stereotypical gangsta thugs on a corner in Bushwick, Brooklyn, talking about their lives and how, and we see the gentrification of Brooklyn affect them. I like that, you know, they're talking about, you know, he's going to get the $8 artisanal mayonnaise, and they're talking about spin class. I thought the three guys did a very good job of this. I saw on Twitter, according to Matt Noss, who directed this, that this was the brainchild of Michael Che from Weekend Update fame. Apparently put this sketch together, or I don't know if he wrote the whole thing or it was just his baby. So I thought it was just a fun, lot of fun kind of beats. I like that with everything going on, they really rail on Michael, on Jay Farrow for sending an Evite in 2015. But the fact that Kevin Hart kills a guy while walking the dogs was not that big of a deal. I thought this was a fun little take on Brooklyn 2015.
You know, I was smiling throughout this. I wasn't really cracking up. And I did feel like it went on really long. Like, I felt like it went on like way past where the joke was fresh for me.
You mean when they're listing each individual person who was at the party between the rap names and the white women by person was get? Yeah, that definitely got a little long. I will say that I thought this was definitely funnier the second time around. I laughed more the second time because I kind of knew where it was going and I knew the pacing of it and I found it funny.
All right, well, let's talk about Kevin Hart as James Brown here in 1971.
So, I liked this sketch. It's, as I'm sure many of our older members of our community felt like, it was impossible not to think of Eddie Murphy doing, James Brown hot tub party, in the heyday, or one of the heydays of SNL, although I don't know if that was overall a heyday. But I will say that I thought this is probably where Kevin Hart was the best. I thought his impression of James Brown was really good, had very good energy. Sketch was a little long for me, but I thought that it just in general, I liked where sort of the sketch went. I felt like the writing of this, and for those who may not remember, he's sort of, he wants to get ready for the funk. He wants to sort of, and then he feels the need to get everybody on board. And everyone yells that they're on board. Then he basically starts taking a roll call. And then it just sort of disintegrates as sort of like groups making a decision, sort of like, and what that's like under the banner of James Brown. But there were a lot of little pieces in this, from Shashir, like, I ain't bringing out no damn capes, to Cecily Strong changing her first name because she got married, and who wants a chicken parm and everything. So it was a lot of little funny pieces in here.
And Cecily wants her chicken parm with mustard.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Again, I felt like this is it was a funny idea. I love the impression. I really loved where it started, but I do feel like this is another sketch, and this is probably a theme of the night where I just felt like it ran out of gas and they didn't know where to go with it.
Yeah, and it almost felt like the button on this where I watched it a second time and I still was a little, he's like, all right, you guys are going to do the vamp and then I'm not going to sing. And then he sings and he goes, oh, I screwed up. It, like, I think the whole audience was so confused that there was a noticeable silence. And then clearly the applause signs went on because you have that artificial sudden applause at the end of a sketch when everyone was like, what? So a bumpy ending to a pretty good sketch.
Wow. Such attention to detail, Rich.
This is what I'm doing. Come on. What are you listening to? Amateur hour recaps? Come on. You're listening to post show recaps. Come
on. Yeah. Top SNL analyst in the business, yeah. Rich Tackenberg. All right.
And I got to say, you had to be an eagle eye analyst to notice Bobby Moynihan with one word. I mean, Bobby Moynihan, who you guys know I love, I think he got less screen time than one of the people sitting in the front row of the studio audience tonight. I think he was in two sketches and it was really, like, I don't understand why he's being so sidelined. Very tough.
Okay. Let's talk about the Nancy show, Rich.
Do we have to?
This might have been the whiff of the night on the Nancy show.
Well, I'm not a huge fan of fart jokes necessarily, and it's not because I'm highbrow. I just think, that where do you go with fart jokes? So here's a sketch. It was the weirdest. We start with a fictional talk show. Okay, we got to get our head around Nancy's a fictional talk show. And now we're going to do a reunion of a fictional soap opera. Okay, let's get our head around that. And then there's music with each of the mentor. Okay, we're getting a head around that. And then Vanessa Bayer's character comes in and there's this weird fart kind of music. So it was, I sort of like went along with it. Even with Vanessa Bayer coming out, like, okay, I'm waiting for the funny justification of why they are playing fart noises for Vanessa Bayer's character. And we just never got there. We had all the different, like, oh, she's high maintenance and let's bring out the sound guy and kind of this crazy rationale of I don't speak English, but clearly he does speak English, who's being coy. And I felt like this really fell flat for me, mostly because we never actually got to find out why was the show playing this fart music. So I never knew who to root for or who to kind of sink my teeth into. So just overall, if I could give this music, this sketch a musical interlude, it would be the musical version of, oh boy.
Yeah. I agree 100% on this. I was waiting the whole time to figure out what was the reasoning of what was going on. Like, and I know every sketch doesn't have to make sense, and I don't want to sound like, you know, a stick in the mud. If it's funny, it's funny. It doesn't need to always make sense. But there was so much invested into why is this happening only to her? It was a mystery. And, you know, it's fine if you're going to do six seasons of Lost and never reveal what the mysteries are. But I mean, for in the 5-minute sketch, if you set up this mystery, we could get into it. And especially when Kevin Hart got into, okay, play the music I specifically picked out for her. You felt like at some point we were going to get the reveal of why he was playing that music for her.
Yeah. And I will say to exactly your point was I just spent a few hours talking about sort of comedy theory a little bit. I think that when you do a sketch where every character in the sketch is on board for the unusual thing, as long as it's not too weird, the audience can go with you. But when a character in the sketch doesn't understand the unusual thing, then we as an audience have an instinctual and we don't even realize it. We have a need to find out the realization with that character. And when the character and we don't find out the reason, then we feel as lost as the character who was in the sketch that was lost. So we were the Vanessa Bayer of the sketch. SNL played fart music on our expectations of the sketch.
Oh, well, I want to see if we can find that music cue and we'll play it whenever we don't like a sketch from now on.
Sounds good.
All right. So here's a question from the great Johnny DeSilvera, who wants to know, what was dropped from the night if Nancy's talk show was kept in the show? You know, I didn't see any deleted scenes this week, Rich.
No, I looked as well. I didn't see any deleted scenes. The only thing that I read on Twitter is that there were three Justin Bieber ads, not two. I was very surprised, given how good they were, that they didn't run the third one. But yeah, looking at this lineup, there was obviously stuff. The fact that this sketch, not only that it was in the show, but it was pre-update is really surprising. It wasn't surprising once I saw the sketches that came after update, but really showed that it was a tougher lineup.
And then we had the second of the Bieber stuff. And again, it's always weird when they do these pre-tapes and have two and not three.
Yes, it was a weird, weird timing, weird sort of a roll on it.
You mentioned the line, all this underwear is making me tired. Anything else from the Bieber stuff that you want to mention here?
Boy, nothing comes to mind specifically, which is a little bit telling. But in general, I did think that this the one that we saw second was probably the third one, and the second one was the one that was cut because this felt like an ending to me. I don't remember any other specific funny lines, but I did like it.
What makes you say it was the ending?
Because I think at the end when he's lying on the floor and he's starting to cry a little bit. What is he kicked something? I can't remember what it was that he kicked away from him. And then was talking about the underwear was making him tired. It felt kind of like an end.
Yeah. I think it was like an exercise ball or some sort of a big, like a ball.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, Rich, let's go ahead and start to talk about music. And it was a night where the sketches left us wondering quite a bit. And also the musical guests left us wondering quite a bit in the episode. So we'll bring in our musical correspondent, the editor of Exclaim magazine, James Keith. And James, could you please tell me why SNL felt the need to go back to the well so quickly and have Kate McKinnon and Jim Carrey do their characters from only a couple of weeks ago of with Sia?
And they didn't even dance to the Chandelier song. I mean, they got the song wrong too.
Yeah. What is going on? First, before we get to SNL, could you set up Sia? Because if you're a little bit like me or maybe even Rich, that we don't have a lot of exposure to Sia. What is her deal? She doesn't show her face to people?
Well, the short answer for the performance things is stage fright.
Stage fright?
Yep. She appeared on the Seth Meyers show a few weeks ago and had Lena Dunham basically dance and lip sync on her behalf and was on a bed in the background. So this is more performance than I think she normally likes to give. The fact that she was facing forward for the second song, I think, is progress.
Are you buying this, James?
Uh, I am to a certain extent, although I always wonder why people just don't perform. I mean,
yeah, you know, I would agree with you, James. I will say I heard her in a lengthy interview with Howard Stern a few months ago. So I believe that this is really the real deal. In fact, she's written many big songs for other musicians. James would probably know. I don't remember specifically who, like Rihanna. And they said that she didn't perform the songs themselves because of her stage fright. But it just made me uncomfortable because I wanted to reach through the screen and say, go home. Don't perform on SNL. It's okay. We'll still hear your song on Sirius Hits 1 7 times an hour. It's okay. Just go home. It was very odd to me.
All right. So tell us about, James, what did you think of performance number 1 by Sia? This is, of course, where we're going to have the girl from the chandelier video. And then who is the other person with her?
I don't know who the other dancer was. The young girl is Maddie Ziegler, who was also, I understand, on Dance Moms, although I'm not personally a viewer of that show either. I was a little bit afraid we were going to get a Shia LaBeouf cameo.
Yeah.
Quite controversially, he is performing the role in the dance piece that we saw of the older person in the video. And it's a little bit creepy to see a 30-year-old man in beige tights wrestling with a prepubescent girl. So I'm glad
for sure.
It wasn't Shia LaBeouf. I don't know who it was.
Yeah, it was disturbing when I saw him pretending to be Indiana Jones one time. That was disturbing, too. He ruins everything.
I thought the performance was good, but I just found you just watched the dancing. I mean, it's her new single, so it was a pretty straightforward version of the song. And I liked that her backing band were just like three dudes in a band in the back row too.
Yeah.
They were not particularly, they weren't on board for the Sia experience. They were just there to play the song.
Now, what is with the nude bodysuit? Why is that the Sia uniform?
I don't know, and I was kind of expecting, because you have Maddie Ziegler there, that there be that they do a sketch, or that I thought for sure we were going to see a return of you know Kate McKinnon in the bodysuit, and you know, because it was several months ago, I guess now that they did that sketch, it seemed like a prime chance to do a revisit, but. Apparently not.
Okay, well then the second Sia piece, she had. Was that a mime that was doing sign language?
Well, they were certainly dressed like a mime, you know, with the white face paint. It bothers me that it seemed like maybe they were sort of doing sign language. I couldn't tell for sure. It didn't seem quite precise enough to be actually sign language. And I wish that if they were going to do it, they would do it properly or not at all.
Yeah.
But again, it just seemed like I thought that the musically that was definitely the more interesting piece, the moody orchestral string accompanied version of Chandelier. I didn't think the mime really fit the message of the song or the tone of the performance. I think it was pretty clearly just something that you were going to look at instead of Sia.
Yeah.
And she picked something that I was going to look at instead of Sia, even if I didn't, I would have preferred not to.
Is that what the game is with Sia, that she's just going to have something to distract you from looking at her on the screen?
I think that's the idea, yeah.
Interesting. Interesting. Rich, should we do something like that on post-show recaps, where we have something more compelling to watch than us, but we just talk in the background?
Oh, I'll bring my dog into the shot. Maybe that'll help. Maybe just peep next to me while we do the show. Maybe that'll help.
It's interesting. That's a good way to go. All right, James.
And here, I'm sorry. I was just going to throw into the Sia conversation, and I'm going to bring it to Good Nights for a second. We're going to go a little bit meta here. But it's like she's got on the wig with the little veil so we can't see her eyes. I understand she's got crippling stage fright, and that's how it works for her. Fine. Okay. It makes me, I want to just sort of make her a hot tea and put her to bed, but that's fine. But then in the Good Nights, she's standing center stage next to Kevin Hart with the thing on, and she's like, hey, woo, great job. Bah, 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 bah,
well, maybe it's only when she performs. Maybe she could just stand there and let you see her, but it's.
Take the stoop. Like once she's there having a great time not performing, I'm like, okay, now you're wearing a prop. Now you're becoming shtick. This is not working for me.
Rich, is it true that the reason why Mike Myers couldn't come out for the goodbyes was he has crippling stage fright also?
That's probably the reason, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, James, what's it? Next week, who are we going to have as the musical guest and host?
Is it is Blake Shelton taking both roles?
Oh, my
he
God.
Is.
Boom.
He
is. Yes. Wow. It's all happening. All right.
I'm going to have to do some Blake Shelton homework.
Yes. Also, Scott St. Pierre saying that the mime was not doing American Sign Language.
Yeah, I think he was just sort of like, he just kept kind of doing the same thing over and over again. So, and I'm pretty sure, and this is a visual thing, I'm not expert at sign language, but I'm pretty sure the sign language symbol for one is this. And he wasn't doing this. So I think I broke the code on the fake mime.
Wait, do you think it's like one of these things like the guy that like signed up to be the sign language yes. interpreter and Sia thought she was hiring a real sign language person and he was an imposter?
Hey, she can't see what he's doing through the veil. She has no idea what's going on to her left.
Yes, yes. All right. James, thank you so much. Of course, you can follow James on Twitter at Exclaim Editor.
And also check out exclaim.ca. We launched a new version of our website over the holiday break, all fresh and pretty.
James, is it true that the reason why you have such a long beard is because that you also have stage fright and this helps obscure you to some degree and then you feel better about speaking on the show?
I that is also true. And Rick Rubin is my spirit animal.
All right. Great. All right, James, thank you so much.
Thanks. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care. All right. Bye. All right. So there is James Keese, editor, Exclaim Magazine. And Rich, it's time to talk about Weekend Update.
Nice. A good, very short update. Wasn't it surprising with everything else? There was a very short update this week.
Yeah. Short update. Only one person. I can't remember the last time we had only one person on Weekend Update.
Yeah, very, very short. Even the amount of jokes were pretty short. There wasn't like a big long run in the middle or anything, or a Jost Che kind of interchange pre-scripted kind of planned bit. Excuse me. But in general, I thought, again, not every joke landed, but I thought this had at least five very, very solid jokes. And our guest who we'll talk about, I thought was very funny. So I definitely put this in the win column.
What were the best jokes?
I like when they're talking about how the Pope was talking about how you can't make a toy out of religion and Michael Chase is something like, and then he put on his giant hat, grabbed his wand and went back to his golden castle.
Yeah.
I thought that was very funny. I thought like that, with a Duke was something that the Christian leaders were upset about something with the Muslims and the tower at Duke University. He's like, and yet they're totally cool that the Duke mascot is the devil. I thought that was very good. And then obviously the Idina Menzel joke about her singing the national anthem at the Super Bowl, and then she'll be singing her song Let It Go as a tribute to the NFL's domestic violence policy. That was definitely the joke of the week. I thought that was really great.
Yeah. Also, I liked where they talked about the guy who had his penis cut off twice, and Michael Che said that's why China's kicking our ass.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was really
and
good.
I did like the thing about the Foria, which is the marijuana perfume, which is going to make women want to have sex more. And it's by Phil Fosby or yes. However they said it. I thought that was funny. All right. So
they had two good Mitt Romney jokes. The run Mitt, which was the operating command to boot him up, was funny. And the fact that he's going to run again in related news, Charlie Brown plans on kicking the football.
Yeah.
All really solid stuff.
All right. Let's talk about Mrs. Santini, who lives in Collins Building.
Apartment 5H, a new character from Kate McKinnon. So the bar for me was very high. I love Kate McKinnon doing characters. And at first, I wasn't totally sure where this was going when she's like, oh, I'm going to take this chair. And then she sort of winked at the audience. But once she decided to leave a nice note for the noisy neighbors above her, and she started Dear Elephant Family in 6H, I knew this was going to be a win for me. So I thought her notes were really funny. Her second note started, Dear, they talked about how the people next to him make a bad smelling food.
Yes.
It started with Dear Mario Batali of Hot Garbage. I thought that was very funny. So the notes were really funny. The little side thing about her small business that she makes small animal skeletons. Yeah. What do you make them out of? Animals. I thought that was really, all of that bit was fun. So I think we will definitely see Frieda Santini showing up again. Very fun. And I will say definitely a good length. I think one more note would have been too much. They kept it short and tight, which was a really smart move.
Yeah, is that a trap for SNL where, you know, you're so trained, oh, comedy, everything is in threes. We got to do three if we're going to have a guest. To have her only do two notes, you think that was the way to go?
I think on this one it was, because it is a little Mad Libby, not as much as Anthony Crispino or Drunk Uncle, but it is a little, it could be a little bit Mad Libby. Okay, what's the next note? So instead to do a little side game about her animal skeleton business instead of a third note felt just right to me. And then we go back, we do the hot garbage. I thought it was all really good.
Yeah, I also liked that she said that, you know, they had to upset her during her final days. And they asked her about it. No, my final days of Hulu Plus, the free trial.
There's a great little button. Yeah. It was really good.
That's
great.
All right. Yeah. Let's talk about the dragon, Rich. What was going on with the dragon?
Or should I say, oh, boy. Oh, this was... I was rooting for the dragon to kill them. I was like, come on, dragon, please. I certainly feel like we've seen a version of this sketch many, many times. You know, obviously the joke is, you know, why do people sing in musicals? Maybe it was inspired by the ABC limited series Gallivant, the series that didn't get picked up. So I thought it was long. It was funny the first 30 seconds, and then we just continued. And then when Leslie Jones showed up, I was like, oh, how is this sketch not over? That's not a dig at Leslie Jones, but it was really tough.
Yeah. It was our first Leslie Jones sighting of the night, and then she's going to play a big part here in the post-update world.
And a weird sort of off game in the writing of the sketch. The thing, I mean, you're doing a bit where, other than Kevin Hart, everyone is breaking out into song and singing about this, and they're all good singers. And then Leslie Jones is sort of a little bit of a button, but she clearly couldn't sing. She's better than I sing. I'm not saying that. But, you know, she's not a good singer. So it kind of was a very off-game move to have someone come out and sing badly. It kind of worked against the whole sketch. I feel like they just had someone come up with a line. Oh, you listen to her when she says it. And so they backed into, well, we only, you know, I guess it needs to be Leslie Jones playing that part. But it really didn't work for me.
Rich, did you see the dragon behind the curtain coming?
A mile away. Yeah, I saw the eye peering into Studio 8H. Knew exactly where we were going. Like, oh, boy.
All right. Let's talk about where Kevin Hart meets his new son.
You know, this is a sketch where, a lot of setup. He just finished performing. Leslie Jones comes in after a lot of too much dialogue, implies that we had sex and now you have a 20-year-old son. And then we have Jay Farrow show up doing a Kevin Hart impression. I love Jay Farrow, but I don't know that it was a funny enough impression, or if there was enough to sink their teeth into. So it felt like a little bit of the mirror game of one person mirroring another, but I don't know that it really worked for me.
Yeah, again, I thought it was a very funny concept, especially because of the height differences between Kevin Hart and Leslie Jones, and Jay Farrow is kind of like, in the middle, and you sort of say, okay, well, if these two people had a baby, maybe this is what this baby would come out to be. And and I thought that the impression was good, but you're right, not hilarious, and I do feel like they ran out of gas with it, and they didn't know where to end it.
Well, and I also felt like Kevin Hart had to start altering his natural cadence and demeanor to match the impression that Jay Farrow was doing. So as opposed to it being an uncanny, eerie echo, it was almost them sort of meeting in the middle a little bit. And I don't think it's because he has a bad, he does a bad impression. It's just there wasn't enough to sort of sink their teeth into.
Yeah.
You know, also at hard, not that we have to worry about logic so much, but it was hard to sort of buy into the sketch. It really threw me off because they're like, oh, this is your son. and they brought on Jay Farrow, who is probably 8 years younger than Kevin Hart in real life. So it was a weird, like, did Kevin Hart have sex with Leslie Jones when he was 13? Like,
whoa.
Give him the benefit of the doubt and say, like, so it was a, they didn't show Kevin Hart as enough, Jay Farrow as enough of a kid. So it was also a weird, like, what am I watching? It was really tough.
All right. Then the final live sketch of the night is the listening party.
This listening to this sketch was no party, Rob. I hate to be this was a weird. I mean, I thought we were going to do. I always blank. I wish Mark C was in the chat room. He'd remember. What's the name of the rapper that Andy Samberg used to do? Mr. Chocolate Thunder Hurricane.
Yeah, I want to say was Vanilla in the title?
It could have been. I can't. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I almost thought that's where we were going at first, and it was very confused about it. And then it was like a very strange, like, you always know you're in trouble when even setting up the premise before you get to the joke is so bumpy that it's like, oh, thanks for coming over. I've recorded my new album, but actually I haven't recorded it. I only recorded the background track. I'm now going to sing it live and lay it down live while you guys stand here and watch me. So before we even got to the joke, I was like, ooh, this is a tough, someone tried to fit a square peg in a round hole to get to this moment and it's not going well. And then the jokes themselves were not unfunny, but really, really, Chris Berger, Blizzard Man. Thank you, Chris. Thank you for Blizzard Man.
Blizzy Blizz.
I thought this sketch just went on forever. This was a tough one.
Yeah, I thought it was a fun setup. I was in, and they're like, okay, we're going to get secrets about everybody. And I felt like it was going to sort of be like the Bobby Moynihan McDonald's sketch, where we're going to start like getting like rapid fire. And I feel like the only one that kind of hit was the Beck Bennett thing, and really the Beck Bennett thing was that he has herpes and he covers it with lipstick. And then when they cut to him and he is actually wearing lipstick, I did think that was funny. I felt like Bobby Moynihan doesn't pay his taxes was like no big deal. And was it Leslie and Keenan? They killed a guy and it's a Weekend at Bernie's situation.
I think Keenan was the Bernie.
Okay.
I think it was Leslie and Taron Killam, if I remember correctly. Yeah,
I like the phrase "a Weekend at Bernie's" situation. That I thought that it was fun, but I just felt like the stuff that were the big secrets was not strong enough.
I agree. It was tough getting there, and then it wasn't enough fun, and it didn't make enough sense, and. And again, I almost think Kevin Hart's energy, bless him. I mean, to just put that much energy in when you're bombing in front of a live audience, and this did not go well in front of the audience. I mean, he is a pro at every level, but his energy, I think, again, worked against him. You could feel, I don't want to say the flop sweat because that's not fair, but you could just feel the energy that didn't match the audience's energy really, really hard.
Yeah, I thought that he really did, work his butt off, especially in this sketch.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So that's the end of the sketches, Rich. But then it's the goodbyes.
Yeah, I already said my piece about the goodbyes. The oddness about, and not, Sia is a lovely person. I have no ill will towards her. It was just so odd to see someone who doesn't want to be seen enjoying being seen on stage. That was very odd to me. But other than that, very warm, everyone, a lot of hugs. I noticed that Sia was introducing the young girl to many of the cast members. The cast members seemed very sweet and taking time during the good nights to talk to her. So it seems like everybody was in good spirits.
Yeah. No moat, I saw on Twitter.
Yes, exactly. No, but it actually was weird. Is there was a decent moat when they were saying goodbye? Like there was that weird, like people were really kind of far back from him. But then as soon as he said his goodbyes, he turned and kind of went right into the crowd. And then it just became the moat dissipated very quickly. So I don't quite get what was going on, but he then got into it and said goodnight to everybody.
This mode has dissipated. Yeah. Okay. Let's let's take some questions here from the listeners. Mike Ramone joins in. He says, if you could pick your dream cast from all 40 seasons of SNL, name your eight players and one or two just for update. Rich, I would say hold that thought. The 40th anniversary special is coming up in just a little bit. And if you're up for it, I'd like to do this as a separate podcast leading up to the 40th anniversary show.
Oh, you are speaking my language. I would love it.
Let's do that. I had meant to email you about it. And then I meant to mention it ahead of the show, but then I'll just put you on the spot now.
No. Oh, please. You're kidding me. I'm very excited.
Okay, good. So good thought, Mike Ramone. And I think that's its own podcast. All right.
I am very excited about being disappointed by the 40th anniversary special.
Yes.
I can't wait to have my expectations lowered and lowered and lowered. But I'll be in it to the very end.
All right. Here, this is from Moloch Science Music. Says, I thought the Nancy show was the funniest of the night. Maybe are people trolling us, Rich?
Is this Vanessa Bayer's second account?
Yeah.
That's the only thing I might be sure.
You're going to the dungeon. You're going to the dungeon if you thought that was the best sketch of the night. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so Johnny D. Silvera, he says, did anyone think the Christmas break would give Hammond more energy? That's what I thought. Yeah, did you think that Daryl Hammond was going to rest up?
I said that I thought this was going to be where if they were ever going to try to do it and save face, it was going to happen here with the long break. You come back. It's been a month since we've seen the show. Most people won't notice the difference, but we will. And nope, they're just sticking to their guns. They're going with this.
All right, Rich, what do you think of the prospects of the, on the 40th anniversary show real quick, what are they doing for the 40th anniversary?
We know that it is a live show. I don't think it's going to be a clip show. And from what I've seen, they really haven't seen it. They haven't said anything yet. So we don't know. I feel like I saw somewhere that Adam Sandler was confirmed to be there. I could have read that in my dreams. I don't know. But I think they really are going to try to pull out all the stops to get as many people back as they can. Rob, are you old enough to remember the 25th anniversary special?
Well, I certainly am old enough to remember a 25th anniversary special, but I remember, like, I feel like there was a big 15th also.
What was it, 15? Is that what it was? I'm blanking on. Maybe it was 15.
So
there was really only been one other big live reunion special that they did live with a lot of sketches. And it maybe someone in the chat room remembers. Maybe it was 15.
That would have been like 91, right?
That makes sense. I'm trying to see if I can find anything here. You're right. 15th anniversary special, September 24th, 1989. Good memory on that. And then they did a 25th anniversary special, but I don't think that was the live show where everybody came back and stuff. So I think this is what I feel like I've heard is that it's going to be closer to the 15th anniversary special where they're going to try to do a lot of live sketches and have a lot of cast back. If they do, I would hope that they do more of what the Groundlings used to do with their reunion shows, which is instead of, hey, it's Garth and
forget it.
Like that. Yeah, those two, or it's the three doing the Conehead sketches. I hope we have a lot of cross-pollination of cast members from different eras together. So we'll see. We'll talk more before the show comes.
So like in a perfect world, you want to see like, you know, Bill Murray, Eddie Murphy, and Adam Sandler doing the Californians.
Oh, Rob. Oh, you just ruined all of my expectations. It's like you just punched me in the guts. Oh. An all-star Californians. That would be, that would be
Yeah. Okay, so you have like Jane Curtin and Kristen Wiig do the Girlfriends talk show.
Ooh, boy.
Yeah. The possibilities are endless.
Yeah, oh boy. Maybe you could get Dan Aykroyd and Julie Louis-Dreyfus to do Garth and Katz. That would be the final nail in my coffin.
Oh, man. That's going to be so much fun.
Yeah.
All right. What are your prospects for Blake Shelton?
I'm very excited. I am unabashedly, I love him. We
wow.
The Voice. I know. We, and by the way, before watching The Voice, I didn't know the words Blake or Shelton existed. I didn't know musically. The first time I saw him perform with his group, his band, it was like I thought the stage manager had grabbed the guitar and was subbing in. I thought it was like the least talented musician on the stage. But he's so fun on The Voice. I like his persona. I like his energy. And his music is fine. I'm not a country guy. It's not crossover country. It seems really good for what it is. I think he's going to be really fun. Dollars to donuts. I think many of us on Twitter have said this. I can't imagine a scenario where camera whore Adam Levine doesn't shove his mug into that monologue at minimum.
Yes.
But we're, you know, will Miranda Lambert show up? His wife? I don't know. I'd like to see some of the voice winners from Team Blake show up, but that would be way too inside.
Okay. Well, Rich, we managed to get through it again. We talked about everything from this week's show, and it's that time.
Oh, it's been a great, you know, it was a long month away from everybody, but it was great to be back. Great to spend time with the gang in the chat room. Great to spend time with you. Good to see James again. I just want to thank my wife upstairs for putting up with the crazy 2 hours.
I think you were going very dark for a second.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I thank my dogs for being quiet for the entire 1 hour podcast. It's been wonderful.
Yeah. I also want to special thanks to the audience for not complaining too much that I actually clicked a different video marked SNL closing theme this week. And this is not the right SNL closing music. So I want to thank our audience for dealing with that as well.
How perfect is it that we had a technical difficulty to wrap up the podcast about the show with technical difficulty?
Yes, all right. But in all seriousness, thank you, Scott St. Pierre, behind the scenes. And thanks to James Keith's fantastic segment talking about Sia. As well, thank you to everybody who joined us live, specifically Johnny DeSilvera and Chris Berger, Matt Curran. Thanks to all of you guys. Thanks to everybody with all their questions. Mike Ramone along the way. Anybody else, Rich? I'm forgetting. I'm sure we're forgetting so many people.
That's it. Too many to thank, but we love them all. They're all in our hearts.
Too many. Thank you. Big thanks to Mike Bloom also for stepping in to fill in for me on the show last time.
So much fun being with Mike. It was great. Great week.
I was telling Rich before the show, I was dying when I listened to it back when they got to Rich's review of Garth and Kat from Weekend Update on that episode. Yeah, all right. So we'll be back next week to talk about the Blake Shelton episode. Have a great week, everybody. Looking forward to hearing what you have to say in the comments, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Team Blake!